Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to DC.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. Here with you live and local on the Team 980 and always streaming live on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me for the next 3 hours. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock here on the new midday show in town, Burgundy and Gold Today. The combination of myself, the legend, Scott Jackson, and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. We got you covered weekdays 12 to 3 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The best Washington Commanders coverage in town. We got expert analysis, fan reaction, and the biggest names in Burgundy and Gold history. And boy, is it going to be hard to top yesterday's show. Just want to start off shouting you all out for calling in. Kept the phone lines full all show long. I know we didn't get to everybody, but that's just an even better reason for you to call in today. We got a whole lot to get to here on this Wednesday edition of Burgundy and Gold today. We'll start taking a look ahead at the Commanders' Week 4 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. Joining the show to help us do that is our friend Sean Sharif from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He's slated to join us at about 12:45 this afternoon. He'll give us an update on the status of some of the injured Cowboys heading into Sunday's showdown, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that coming up at 12:45. It's a Wednesday here on Burgundy and Gold today, so you know what that means. NFL Week 4 kicks off tomorrow night with Thursday Night Football, so it is time for another installment of Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the National Football League heading into week number 4. We'll also take a trip to the Dog Pound, my top underdogs heading into this weekend slate of games as well. Went 2-1 last week with the Jaguars and Dolphins as big, fat winners. The Patriots, unfortunately, let us down. But we're back at it again this week at 2 o'clock. Eric Bickle, better known as EB from the Sports Junkies over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, he's set to join us as well. We'll get his take on one of the big topics from yesterday's show. Is this weekend's game against the Dallas Cowboys a must-win for the Commanders? You all know where I stand on this issue at 2 o'clock. We'll see where EB stands on the matter. Fans out there, consider the 2 p.m. segment a big win. We'll have someone on the show just as delusional as you guys are. So it's a win for all parties involved. So per usual, a jam-packed show here on Burgundy and Gold today. And you all know how I get down. It's the people show. I want to hear from you guys. Team 980 listener lines open all show long. Tap in with me, 301-230-0980, or you can get with me on Twitter and Instagram as well, at NELL_BTP. So after going back and taking an in-depth look at the film from Sunday against Philadelphia, a game in which Washington could only muster 50 yards of offense in the first half, a game in which Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times, I've made up my mind and said that this team can't afford to put out another offensive performance like the one they did on Sunday. I mean, seriously. I know the whole Carson Wentz experience is supposed to be a roller coaster ride, but sheesh, I can't. And this is how you know the performance was terrible offensively. The Commanders actually got some love nationally for just how bad they performed as a unit.
First one, I mean, goats in a bad way. I'm going to a whole unit here, as you know I love to do. But the Washington Commanders offensive line. When you want to talk about sucky ducky, let's start with them for the week because that was sucky ducky. I mean, poor Carson Wentz. Hey, I'd like to, you know, show up my old team and, you know, put on a good show here and you know, stick it to them a little bit. He had no chance. He really did. I mean, it was constant pressure, constant stepping up in the pocket like you see here, never really being able to get in a rhythm or feeling comfortable in the game at all. So the Washington Commanders offensive line, stinky, horrible, poor Carson Wentz. Eagles had a lot of fun partying at Carson Wentz in this game.
I said this yesterday. I thought it was funny after the game. Carson Wentz said it's not the offensive line's fault that he got sacked 9 times. Like, yeah, he's going to say that because he doesn't want to get sacked 18 times next week.
Seriously, right. But, I mean, it could have been another handful of sacks for sure.
That is Chris Sims of Pro Football Talk talking about just how putrid this Washington Commanders offensive line performed on Sunday. You all know the numbers. 9 sacks. They were only able to muster up 50 yards of total offense in that first half. Now, I will say this, though. After going back and watching, the offensive line didn't really give Carson Wentz a chance early on in that football game. And those hits and the sacks that he took had a lasting impact, you know, throughout the remainder of that game. Carson Wentz's mental clock was just fried. I mean, there were times he was sped up. There were times he was just completely oblivious to the pressure. The bottom line is, Carson Wentz and this Commanders offensive line must play better, straight up. We have not seen this Commanders offense play well really since the second half against Detroit, and that was only in spurts. But you want to talk about a complete effort? We really haven't seen it since week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the blame, you know, can be spread around equally. Carson Wentz, Scott Turner, this offensive line, hell, even the wide receivers on some occasions. But here is former NFL executive Joe Banner, who now works with the 33rd team, on the performance of Carson Wentz Sunday versus Philadelphia. We'll get that to you in a second here. But the fact of the matter is, we all know the performance this team put out offensively Sunday just isn't good enough. It just isn't. And it really dates back to last weekend against Detroit. And even in spurts during that Jacksonville Jaguars game, when you're outscored 46-0 in back-to-back weeks in the first half, it's probably not going too well for you. Here's Joe Banner on the performance of Carson Wentz Sunday.
But let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. And it was really just an extreme example of what we've seen him for the last 3 years. It wasn't something new. So as you look at him yesterday, you'll see there are situations where, because he's waiting for the wide receiver to finish his route, he's allowing himself to get sacked when he doesn't need to. And he's missing opportunities to complete passes. You see situations where you have players that are running down a seam and they're open. And it's two things. It's just take too long to really trust himself on what the defense is going to be. And then throwing the ball before he knows for sure that wide receiver is open. So trust in his wide receivers. Now, he's been places where that was justified, but he's not there now. When you have a breakdown as bad as you did, it's not usually one person. So the offensive line certainly did not play well and can play better, and we've got to see that. And we've got to see better coaching. You know, Scott Turner, his offensive coordinator, can do draws, he can throw screens, he can throw slants, he can set up an outlet on every play and just tell Carson, if you don't see it right away, just throw the ball to this guy and we'll take our chances. But those are the only things that give him a chance, because he's been doing this now for 4 years. So at some point, it just becomes who you are, not who we're speculating you are.
Now, the end of that is super interesting to me, because if you all don't know, Joe Banner was actually in Philadelphia while Carson Wentz was there. that shot that he took at the end. Matt, if you could go back and play the last 10 seconds of that, because I thought that was extremely interesting. It's former NFL executive Joe Banner talking about Carson Wentz and a little dig there at the end on the way out here.
In every play, and just tell Carson, if you don't see it right away, just throw the ball to this guy and we'll take our chances. But those are the only things that give him a chance, because he's been doing this now for 4 years. So at some point, it just becomes who you are, not who we're speculating you are.
At some point, it just becomes who you are, not who we're speculating that you are. It's so interesting to me. Carson Wentz, this offseason, without a shadow of a doubt, was the most polarizing quarterback in the National Football League. There is a contingent of the media. There is this national narrative that has been built and created that basically high-ranking officials across the National Football League do not have confidence in Carson Wentz's ability to resurrect his career here in Washington. Now, when we acquired Carson Wentz, it was very much known that this was going to be a roller coaster experience that comes with a lot of ups and a lot of downs. Now, Sunday against Philadelphia really felt like rock bottom. I'm not going to lie. He's been here. We got to look at him through training camp, got to see him through the preseason, and then you got to see him 2 weeks of work. Last weekend in the first half, really the whole damn game, I don't even want to just limit it to the first half. The entire game last weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, the effort from Carson Wentz, it just isn't good enough. Just isn't. Now, I know he's had to deal with the fact that the offensive line struggled individually at times throughout that football game. But if anyone out there is of the belief that Carson Wentz is not responsible for any of the 9 sacks that he took, you're crazy. You're crazy. Now, I will say this. It is an equal opportunity blame pie, I feel like. And I gave you my culprits. Carson Wentz, Scott Turner, and this Commander's offensive line. It's on Scott Turner because constantly we saw Carson Wentz in this offense get battered with pressure, and they made no adjustments offensively. That's on Scott Turner. It's on Carson Wentz because, like I said, after the hits and sacks accumulate the way they did Sunday, it has a lasting impact on the quarterback's psyche throughout the rest of the football game. Carson Wentz's mental clock Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles was fried. There were times he was sped up, and there were times where he was just completely oblivious to the pressure. Now, this is a combination of things, though. It's a combination of him lacking the physical ability he once had when he was in Philadelphia. It's a combination of him being greedy, so to speak. And that's the best way I could put it, is being greedy. A lot of the times, and Joe Banner hit on it in the piece we just played, a lot of the times with Carson Wentz, it's in his competitive nature to feel as if he could hit the home run ball every time he drops back to pass. And that's the challenge that quarterbacks coach Kenny Zampezi and offensive coordinator Scott Turner have. You got to get him to understand that, look, son, sometimes a layup is just as good as the home run ball. Because when you have playmakers on the outside such as Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, J.D. McKissick, Antonio Gibson, you know the cast of characters. When you have playmakers like that, sometimes in this offense, all you need is to be a great distributor of the football. Now, look, I know there were some times in that game against Philadelphia where Carson Wentz was under siege within 2-3 seconds. Not enough time for a quarterback to get the football out of his hands. Like I said, though, the blame can be shared between everybody. Because if I'm Scott Turner, I'm not continually putting Carson Wentz in these positions to where he can get hit as much as he did. And I will say this is on Carson as well, though. You have to be mentally stronger as a quarterback. I will say this. I love the way Carson handled himself post-game. We'll get a chance to hear from him today as well. But I love the way that he handled himself post-game, taking the brunt of the blame for the sacks without even going back and looking at the film. It shows growth. It shows growth because all we heard this offseason about Carson Wentz and some of the things that led to his departure from Indianapolis was how he handled himself in the locker room. Was he accountable? Was he receptive to coaching? We all know it. This is Carson Wentz's last chance. Take everything into consideration. This is probably Carson Wentz's last chance to come into a training camp and be the team's unquestioned starter from day one of camp. He's got to make the most of it. He's got to make the most of it. I am by no means am I willing to jump off of the Carson Wentz train or roller coaster, so to speak, at this point in time. I'm not. Because even though Sunday's performance was as terrible as it was, we've still seen more good than we have bad from Carson Wentz. And look, the bottom line is, we all know Carson Wentz needs to be better. We all know this offensive line needs to be better. We all know offensive coordinator Scott Turner must be better. Speaking of better, as we get ready to enter week four, now, you know, pretty much seems like a perfect chance and opportunity to check in on some of the specific members of the Washington Commanders roster. Our first installment of our Commanders stock report is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Team 980 and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Burgundy in gold today. Linnell Willingham flying solo here on this Wednesday edition of Burgundy in Gold Today. Right now, though, I teased it before we went to the break. We're getting ready to enter week four of the National Football League season. We're at a point in time right now where you can make some declarations about certain guys. It's about the perfect time, in my opinion, to check in with some members of the Washington Commanders, guys who are performing well, guys who aren't performing so well. Right now, our first installment of our Washington Commanders stock report. We'll start on the positive note. Stock up. Cornerback Benjamin St. Juice. BSJ did some really good things in an elevated role Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, allowing just 3 catches on 9 targets, breaks up 2 passes. He was outside on 56 of his 64 snaps and in the slot just 6 times due to William Jackson III being out. This is where Benjamin St. Juice is at his best, when he gets to use his length and quickness on the outside compared to playing in the slot. The kid stands at 6'2". There aren't many 6'2" slot corners in the National Football League, and the way that he handled the physicality of A.J. Brown on Sunday I thought was mighty impressive. Gave up a few receptions, but the nugget right here via Pro Football Focus really is what got me feeling good. 56 of his 64 snaps played, that's every defensive snap, by the way, for Washington on Sunday, was on the outside. We're at a point right now, if you're Washington, where you have an identity crisis, it seems like. So many times, we continue to try to force square pegs into round holes. Benjamin St. Juice, by all accounts, based on what you saw last year, in his limited action before he had to sit down with the concussion stuff. And based on what you've seen thus far, you know, against Philadelphia, he is much better served as an outside corner. And I don't even think it's much of a debate. Right now, though, for me, if this defense is going to continue to take steps in the right direction, Benjamin St. Juice is going to be a huge part of it. Stock down. Start with William Jackson III. When the defense looks much better when you're not on the field, it's not by accident. Washington against Philadelphia shut this team out in the second half after giving up 24 points in the opening half. William Jackson III was not on the football field, and we saw the best performance of the season thus far from this secondary. After week three, Washington defensively ranked 27th in the National Football League in yards allowed. You're ranked 28th in points allowed, and you forced just one turnover. That says to me, your cornerbacks on the outside, a la William Jackson and Kendall Fuller, aren't doing a good enough job. So right now, until I see this defense perform well with William Jackson in the lineup, it'll continue to be stock down for me. Stock up. Second-year linebacker Jamin Davis. He leads the team with 3 sacks after having just 1 sack as a rookie. And he had 2.5 sacks during his entire college career. You can clearly see the improvement through 3 weeks with this young man. It's about this coaching staff continuing to put him in better positions to succeed. From just a pure athleticism standpoint, Jamin Davis is one of the best players on this defense. Now, I know that comment and statement is going to be met with some pushback because Jamin Davis has been the brunt of a lot of jokes ever since Washington chose to select him with their first-round pick last year. Newsflash, though. Players, are only as good as the position and fit that they're in. And right now, Jack Del Rio will probably admit this. Ron Rivera will probably admit this. This team has not done enough to ensure the success of Jamin Davis. Multiple times on Sunday, you saw his athleticism being put on full display. Look at how they used Micah Parsons in Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, when they drafted Micah Parsons, I bet you had no intentions of using him as an edge rusher. But they found out, well, the kid's not the best in coverage. How can we find ways to continue to get him on the football field? How can we find ways to best utilize his skill set? And right now, if you're Washington, you got to be looking at Dallas as a mirror. Do the things that Dallas is doing with Micah Parsons with Jamin Davis. They got a hell of a lot of traits in common. Both phenomenal athletes. Both guys that fly to the football. Both guys that struggle in coverage, quite frankly. You wouldn't be able to tell Micah Parsons' deficiencies because guess what? There's no way and no reason for the Dallas Cowboys to put Micah Parsons in disadvantageous situations. Stock down. Kendall Fuller. Rough outing Sunday for Kendall Fuller in Pro Football Focus. Love the nuggets that they provide us. So according to PFF, Kendall Fuller was targeted 11 times on Sunday against Philadelphia and gave up 9 catches for 152 yards, including 55 yards after the catch. Jalen Hurts finishes the game with 149.1 QBR when targeting Kendall Fuller yesterday. So the definition of a rough day for Kendall Fuller at the office. The thing that frustrates me, though, about Kendall Fuller, this has been for all 3 games this year and then dating back to the preseason. He has struggled mightily. Now, when Kendall Fuller was at his best, we all know he was a slot corner. Why this Washington coaching staff has been reluctant to put Kendall Fuller in the slot is beyond me. It really is. Rashad Wild Goose gets elevated. Somebody who hasn't played a regular season snap in his career gets elevated on Sunday and starts in the slot for Washington. Jalen Hurts and that Philadelphia offense went after him early and often. And it's on Washington at this point. It's on the coaching staff. Like I said in the opener, the good teams in this league continually put their guys in the best positions to succeed. And right now, through 3 weeks, Washington has not been able to do that on a consistent basis. I want to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Twitter and Instagram, you can get at me there as well. NELL_BTP. We're doing our Commanders stock report right now. Call in and give me some guys whose stock is up right now for the Washington Commanders, and then call in and give me some guys whose stock is down right now for the Washington Commanders. Stock up right now. My man, Daron Payne, super duper impactful performance on Sunday. 4 pressures, 3 hurries, a quarterback hit, and a safety. He has been dominant. He has been absolutely dominant in the first 3 weeks of the season. I think it continues for multiple reasons. One, he's a pretty damn good football player. And two, the kid's trying to get paid. Washington probably is going to lose Daron Payne for free this offseason. He is going to go out and try to break the bank. It is going to become one of the highest paid defensive tackles in football, and he's earning it right now here in Washington. Through the first 3 weeks, Daron Payne has had his fingerprints on every football game thus far. The struggles defensively are not because of Daron Payne. If there was one guy on this defense, if there's one guy on this team who maybe I had to name an MVP throughout the first 3 weeks of the season, it'd have to be Daron Payne. And the interesting thing about Daron Payne and his meteoric rise, I'll call it, isn't it ironic that sometimes it takes a guy being in a contract year to perform to the best of their abilities? Straight up, money is the best motivator in this world. I say it all the time. But for Daron Payne, man, this Commanders defensive line for years, was looked at as one of the best defensive lines in football. As we sit here through 3 weeks of action, there's no way in hell you're going to tell me the Washington Commanders are one of the best defensive lines in football. Hell, they're not even the best defensive line in the NFC East. We saw that group Sunday in the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Nate Davis, Josh Sweat, guys getting to the quarterback on a consistent basis and being game wreckers. That's all I ask for from this Commanders defensive line. Be game wreckers. Be somebody who can affect the opposing team's offense on a consistent basis. That's all I ask for. I want to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. We're giving our Commander stock report here as we get ready to enter week 4 of the National Football League season. I guess gave you stock up with Daron Payne. How about stock down? Offensive tackle Sam Cosmi. And it's frustrating when you talk about Sam Cosmi because his play, really, in my opinion, isn't all his fault. All the pundits nationally told us coming out, I believe it was last year when he was getting ready for the draft, Sam Cosmi, although he played tackle in college, probably projects best as a guard on the National Football League level. Washington, once again, doing the same thing over and over and over again, continuing to put square pegs in the round holes, has played Sam Cosmi primarily at tackle since they drafted him a year ago. And he had the definition of a rough day versus the Philadelphia Eagles. He struggled the week before with Aiden Hutchinson. Had Aiden Hutchinson look like a damn Pro Bowler in week 2 against Detroit. Then he follows it up with another piss-poor performance. 6 pressures allowed. That's a team high. 2 QB hits and 3 sacks. One guy giving up three sacks. So whenever that's the case with somebody, you know, hey, look, man, maybe the kid's just not this good. Maybe the kid's just not fit to play offensive tackle. So at this point in time, based on what I've seen from Sam Cosmi in the past 2 weeks, hell, he even, Trayvon Walker, number 1 overall pick in last year's draft, gave him fits in week 1. So this is 3 straight weeks of subpar football being played by Sam Cosmi out there at tackle. And if you're Washington, how much longer do you have to watch him play poorly before you decide, hey, maybe it's time to put somebody else in? I want to continue to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. We're giving our Commander's stock report as we get ready to enter week 4 of the National Football League season. I gave you some of my stock ups and stock downs. Now it's time to hear from you guys. 301-230-0980. Twitter and Instagram, you can tap in with me there as well. NELL_BTP. One more stock up here before we hit the break. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel. Now, the issue with Curtis Samuel a season ago was the health of Curtis Samuel. Kid just flat out wasn't healthy a year ago. Right now, though, through the first 3 weeks of the season for wide receiver Curtis Samuel, one of the most explosive weapons in the National Football League, and it's not even close. 6th in the NFL in catches. He's 12th in targets. And the thing I love the most about Curtis Samuel in this Washington offense specifically is the versatility he provides. Right now, it's pretty obvious he is this team's most explosive weapon on offense. And it's so ironic. That's why I always say, man, sometimes you got to take it easy on a guy. Sometimes let a kid get healthy before we start making declarations about how good somebody could be. Because right now, as it stands, Curtis Samuel, by far the most explosive weapon on this Commanders offense. And if I would have told you this at about week 8 last year, you probably would have looked at me like I had two heads. Curtis Samuel, when it's all said and done, in my opinion, is probably going to end up as the Washington Commander that leads this team in touchdowns and pass receptions. And the thing I love, I mentioned the versatility. His ability to create matchup nightmares in the backfield is something that can't be understated. It really can't. So right now, when you look at it, four guys I gave stock up to, three guys I gave stock down to. Now it's time to hear from you guys. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. We'll hear from you guys and get your stock up and stock down. It's our Commander Stock Report next, right here on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up at 12:45, we'll continue to look ahead at the Commanders' Week 4 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. Joining us to do that at 12:45 is our friend Sean Sharif from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He'll give us up to speed on the injury situation right now in Big D with Dak Prescott, Michael Gallup, and more. We'll get the latest at 12:45 with our man Sean Sharif. Right now, though, I want to hear from you guys. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. We're getting ready to enter week 4 here. About to reach the quarter pole mark of the National Football League season. So what better time to give out our Commander's stock report? I gave you some stock ups, gave you some stock downs. Now it's time to hear from you. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Dale in Hyattsville. Dale, stock up Stock down for this Washington Commanders football team right now.
Stock down. Everybody, individual, it's all right. You can give them that. But the point is that, listen, football's won and lost by a team. And if one is doing well and everybody else is doing not too well, that's not good. Now, one of the things I'm concentrating on, all that stuff you were saying about Switz is accurate. I agree with that. But no, I want to add three more things, too, to it. Number one, he arcs the ball too damn high. I don't know whether or not it's because of the way he holds the football or whether or not he bends the arc, the body, whatever. Two plays, for example, on the Philadelphia game. Two of them, one with McLaurin and one with Todd Dotson, where they actually were stretching out to get the ball on the sideline. The ball was coming in, and it still didn't get to their hands, even when they were stretched all the way out. That is, the ball's too high. It's arcing up too high. Number two, he had a problem of not looking off his receivers. Case in point, the Jacksonville game. I saw the play where he was throwing to Jahab Jackson on the sideline, and he had his eye on him all the time. You need to look off the dang receiver and then look back and get to that, give him the ball. The cornerback weighed on him, and as soon as he threw that ball, that back and intercept the ball. There was another screen pass. That guy Walker, the first-round pick that was from Jacksonville, he diagnosed the screen pass. Carson Wentz was looking at Antonio Gibson.
So, Dale, I think it's safe to say stock down for you for quarterback Carson Wentz, huh?
Oh, yeah. And he needs to get it fixed, because if he don't get it fixed, it's going to be even far worse than him.
Can you give me a stock up for somebody, Dale?
Okay, I'll give a stock up to Samuels. I'll agree with you with that, with him. I'll give us, but everything else, I have a hard problem with.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Dale. Continue to tap in. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. We're about to reach the quarter pole mark of the National Football League season, and I think it's a perfect time to do a little Commander stock report. When you call in, give me somebody whose stock is up for you right now, and somebody whose stock is down for you right now for this Washington Commanders team. Let's go to Vaughn, who wants to tap in. What's going on, Vaughn?
Hello?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
One of the things I want to say stock down for the coaching staff, preparation. It seems like we always getting out coached, which I don't understand that, as far as making adjustments. Stock up. I want to give to the. I don't want
to
say.
It's kind of difficult to do it, huh?
Yeah. Man, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. It is kind of difficult to do it right now. St. Jude's, that'll be my stock up. But can I ask you a football question right quick?
Of course, of course.
If you don't mind, please. And I know you have a little bit more insight and knowledge about it. I was just the Detroit game, and I was looking at the gaps that they were just running through. I have never in my life seen holes like that so big. I understand. I was thinking, okay, this game is fixed. We get double teamed a lot.
We do.
And I've seen they double team the interior of us, and I see a lack of gap control. So when you get double team, isn't it easier to fill in to make the tackle? If they double-team Deron Payne inside, because I was watching on O-line that they was double-teaming a lot, and we seem like nobody is not there. So I'm just confused about why we can't adjust to the double-team when we get double-team up front.
Hey, Vaughn, I appreciate the call, my man. I'll answer it off air for you. Look, the fact of the matter is the double-teams on the interior shouldn't be happening. Let me tell you why it shouldn't be happening. Because when you have edge rushers on the outside – that are supposed to be premier first-round picks, guys like Montez Sweat not winning their one-on-one individual battles, that allows you to double-team guys on the interior. And right now, I think Montez Sweat and his lack of production is really hurting this Commanders defensive line from getting pressure on a down-in, down-out basis. Because let me tell you this. Most of the time when Deron Payne and John Allen are singled up on the inside, they win. They win. They whip the ass of the guy in front of them 9 times out of 10, and more times than not, when they are singled up on the inside. That's a great point made by Vaughn. I want to hear from you guys, though. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. You can get at me on Twitter and Instagram as well, NELL_BTP. As we get ready to reach the quarter pole mark here of the National Football League season, Washington on the road in Dallas this Sunday. Through 3 weeks – Give me your Commanders stock report. Some guys whose stock is up right now and some guys whose stock is down right now. Let's go to Bob, who wants to tap in. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Stock down on offensive coordinator. Definitely down on offensive coordinator. 323 first half. Hey, everybody's down on Cosby. The man out of Texas was a run blocker, never a pass blocker. He powered run the ball in Texas. They ran the ball well. He can play, guys. 323 left in the half. What do? Pass, pass, pass. Give it up to him. Short field to go up 24-0. This is what I'm talking about, guys. They don't run the ball. Their linemen aren't that good right now. There's no cohesion. Simple plays, simple gains, simple plays. What do? We throw the ball. We even play action pass. The play action pass only works if you run the ball by having it in the repertoire till you run the ball. They can run it. Robinson will run it. They want all the bread baskets on him. If they don't run it against the Cowboys, look for them to get 12 or 14 sacks this weekend.
Hey, I'm out. Hey, I appreciate the call, Rob. Let's go to Robert in Reston before we get Sean Sharif on the other side of the break. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, I just want to talk about two things. Carson Wentz, for some reason.
Stock up, stock down, buddy. We got to be very particular what we're doing here. You got stock up for the Commanders and stock down for the Commanders.
Oh, stock down, stock down. You know, Carson Wentz, when he goes back to pass, he's getting sacked, you know, and he's, you know, you got his design plays where he just takes two, three step drop back and dump it over the middle. Scary Terry is available. Scary Terry didn't catch a ball the whole first half.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, our friend Sean Sharif, co-host of the RJ and Sean Show over on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, is set to join us. He'll get us up to speed and help us scout the opponent as the Washington Commanders get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday from Jerry World. Team 980 and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Burgundy and Gold today, the new midday show here in town. The combination of myself, the legend, Scott Jackson, and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. We got you covered weekdays 12 to 3 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Joining us right now, though, to help us take a peek forward at Sunday's big-time showdown against the Dallas Cowboys is Sean Sharif, the host of the Sean and RJ Show, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. over on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Sean, big week coming up, my man, and a huge win for you guys on Monday Night Football. What's the vibe right now in Dallas surrounding the Cowboys?
Vibe is very good. Not trying to overreact, since no one here is buying the Giants anyway.
Right.
And it's not like, you know, Cooper Rush lit it up for four or five touchdowns or anything like that. We're just trying to survive. We're in survival mode. Can we be, you know, 3-1, get into Dak Prescott, if indeed it is Dak Prescott returning after Jerry Jones created his usual circus last week. But we're happy, we're excited, and we're trying to survive.
Sean, I want to ask you a little bit more about the return of Dak Prescott. How close is he to a return? And as a fan, Sean, you got to look at the Russell Wilson situation from a year ago when he injured his finger, rushed himself back, and really just didn't look like himself for the remainder of that season. Is Dallas moving with any type of cautious optimism regarding the return of Dak Prescott, or is it next week or go home?
Well, Dak pinpointed week 5. But look, Cooper Rush has bought them time here.
Right.
You know, do you really want Dak Prescott? So week 5 after you guys is the Rams. Mm-hmm. You know, do you really want Dak Prescott going up against Aaron Donald with a banged up hand? So Cooper Rush, I think, allows them the ability to make sure that Dak Prescott is as good as he can be. You're going to have 30-35% of fans around here who would want Cooper Rush to take this job over anyway.
Oh, man. Is that how it gets down there? Holy cow.
Man, that's how it gets everywhere. You know how it is, the love for the backup quarterback. Look, this thing has a lot of different layers, right? You have people here who still hold it against Dak that he took Romo's job. So for all the Romo fans around here, they're bitter towards that. They're bitter that Dak got the $40 million when they don't think he's worth it. They're bitter that Dak always seems to have a lot of good pieces around him. They forgot about 12-5 last year, even though we all know how it ended. And they for damn sure have not forgotten about 1 week. The worst thing that happened to Dak was not that he hurt himself. It was that there's 1 week on his 2022 season because the Dak haters around here are pointing to 3 points against Tampa Bay as maybe the best defense in the entire league as reason why Cooper Rush should take Dak's job. But that's about 30-35%.
It's crazy down there in Big D, man. Joining us right now on the Team 980 Guest Hotline is Sean Sharif, co-host of the RJ and Sean Show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Jerry Jones obviously loves the attention. You mentioned what a circus he is. He hinted at it was a joke, obviously, about Cooper Rush potentially creating a quarterback controversy with Dak Prescott based on just how well he's performed. Let me ask you this, Sean. If you're Dak Prescott, knowing how he got his job from Tony Romo, right, do you think that plays into his thought process of trying to rush back from this hand injury?
No, I don't think that plays in at all. You know, I do think Dak is an ultimate competitor. He is the absolute leader of this team. He's one of the best leaders in the entire league. So he is just desperate to get back out there. Look, Dak ripped off 11 wins in a row. It took 11 straight wins in his rookie season to keep Tony Romo on the bench. Cooper Rush is not going to get that type of opportunity. I don't think that Cooper Rush is the player that Dak Prescott is. So we asked Jerry. Jerry comes on with us every Tuesday, and we asked him and asked McCarthy every Friday, does Jerry walk by like McCarthy's offense with a little wink? Like, watch what I'm about to say to the media. McCarthy can't stand it. McCarthy hates it, trust me. But Jerry Jones, it was another brilliant ploy to get all of us talking about him. I think Jerry has a rule. If you work for the Cowboys, if you play for the Cowboys, you better put your feelings aside because I'm going to use you. Jerry Jones' greatest achievement is not 3 championship rings. It is keeping the Cowboys as the number one story in the National Football League despite not
it's
winning.
Incredible.
I mean, think, it is incredible, right? It is the top story for 25 years when they haven't even gone to an NFC championship game. And his comment last week was designed. It was on purpose. And it landed perfectly. That's Jerry Jones' brilliance right there. It's just the Cowboy fans can't stand it.
Yeah, all the drama and speculation resides on the offensive side of the football right now, Sean. But that defense, leading the National Football League in sacks, it's spearheaded by Micah Parsons. DeMarcus Lawrence dealing with a little bit of a foot injury heading into Sunday's contest. Can you give us the latest on his status? And really just put it in a nutshell, just how dominant this Dallas defense has been through the first 3 weeks.
Well, we'll have to wait a little bit on Tank for an injury update. He told reporters after the game that he's going to be fine. You know, Micah Parsons, you know, a lot of comparisons people roll their eyes at. You know, I grew up listening to this radio station with Doc Walker, so he can chime in on Lawrence Taylor against Micah Parsons.
Right.
But I don't think we're looking at it as that crazy. That's how much of a monster this guy is. We've been begging the coaching staff to just play him at DN.
Right.
Just unleash him. Joe Theismann and others. Theismann's coming on our show tomorrow. He said last year on my show, no, for a quarterback, you don't want to see him lining up in different spots.
Yeah,
we can
right.
game plan if he's sitting there, you know, at right defensive end. If he's coming from one side rushing, we can game plan for that. But we just want to unleash Micah Parsons on the quarterback. And then finally, DeMarcus Lawrence got freed up. You know, you think because of some of this Micah attention. I don't know if Tank's the one to worry about physically. Micah was dealing with some sickness issues last week, obviously non-COVID. He also got banged up at the end of the Tampa Bay game. And I thought that limited him the other night against the Giants. So hopefully he's healthier because he will absolutely destroy anything in his path. But this defense, this is why Dan Quinn, everyone's talking about Sean Payton around here. If the season goes south for Mike McCarthy, Dan Quinn is the leader to replace Mike McCarthy, in my opinion. And this defense for a second year in a row is the reason why.
I will say this, though, Sean. It's a lot easier to have a turnaround defensively when you draft a stud like Micah Parsons. No shade to Dan Quinn, my man, but whew, it could be an interesting conversation if Dallas.
And it was an accident.
Falters.
It was right. They lucked into Dak. They tried to get multiple quarterbacks before Dak. And you know, our scouts talked about Micah Parsons' Penn State tape. They said this pass rush was not on there.
Like, yeah, right.
They were sitting there old school, you know, drafting a linebacker, which is a dying, you know, position in the NFL. It's kind of been, you know, downgraded like the running back. But, man, this guy's got a Michael Irvin, a championship-type mentality. He is a dog, and he wants to be the best. He idolizes Kobe Bryant. And he's not going to stop till he gets there in his mind.
Sean, despite, you know, all the headlines that are mulling around right now, it is Cowboys week here in Washington, D.C. Is the vibe the same down there over in Dallas? Do people and the fans get steamed up for Dallas, Washington still, despite Dallas really being lopsided in this rivalry?
No. No. It's Philly. It's Philly one with the hatred for them. Then probably the Giants too. And if Washington was better, they would move up that list. But, you know, as we all know, the state of things and where they are, I would say Washington is definitely a distant number three. And look, I grew up there. You know, I grew up in Maryland. I went to college at American University. So I remember RFK and I remember the hatred. But you know how things flip-flop, right?
Yep.
The Giants were the most hated when they were on top. Philadelphia is always hated because of the scum of type of people they are, along with the city. But Washington, it's almost like they don't matter. They're irrelevant, so they're in a distant third place.
From the outside looking in, Sean, when you guys are getting ready to take on this Washington Commanders football team, who scares you right now on the Washington Commanders? Obviously, offensively, they put up two stinkers in back-to-back halves. But from the Cowboys' perspective, what do you think scares them on this Washington Commanders team?
Oh, good question. Maybe
the
number
one
answer,
Sean.
It may be Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Terry McLaurin in fantasy. Uh-oh. I've been extremely disappointed getting my rear end kicked. You know, before last week, before that Eagle game, I could have made a little bit of an argument for Carson Wentz. Yeah. But, you know, Wentz is so up and down as he's been throughout his entire career. I should be saying the defensive line. You know, that's what everyone thought the entire league was afraid of and terrified of. But, you know, Jahan Dotson and these receivers, I think that's probably been the highlight of Washington's season so far. Obviously, you would know better than me, but I don't have an immediate answer as to what is scary. What should it be? What's your answer?
What should it be? Nothing. Nothing should scare you about the Washington Commanders right now. Just based off of how this football team has really looked in the past two weekends against Detroit and against Philadelphia. I mean, we were talking before we had you on. We were doing a stock report right now, giving stock up to some guys and stock down to others. I'll say this, a lot more stock down than there is stock up right now, Sean.
You know, because Carson Wentz is so maddening. One of the biggest arguments I lost here in my 11 years doing the morning show on the Cowboys flagship is Carson Wentz is just as good or better than Dak Prescott. I said that like 3 years ago, and I've been absolutely destroyed. I mean, physically, it's there, right?
There was a point in time where it was a legit argument now.
He would have won the MVP the year he got hurt.
Right.
He would have won the MVP the year that they went and won the Super Bowl. The size, the strength, the mobility, it's just things just went south so fast. Indianapolis couldn't wait to get rid of him. He holds onto the ball forever. It feels like he has no self-awareness
at all
of the mistakes that he makes. And, I mean, he's just a maddening football player, but he's one of the biggest arguments I've ever lost in DFW over here that he would be better than Dak.
Obviously, the offense, when Dak Prescott was at the helm, faltered in the one game against Tampa Bay. When Dak does eventually return, Sean, do you expect this offense to get back to clicking on all cylinders, or do you think it'll be a little bit of a lull before they start to get it going here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. You know, it wasn't just the one game against Tampa. Cowboys fans have a bad taste in their mouth from Dak since the Denver Bronco game of last season.
Oh,
now, look,
okay.
First half-wise, this guy was an MVP candidate. He came out in the Tampa opener last year on fire. The offense, they still did score the most points in the league last year, but he got banged up, right? He went into the season with the arm issue, and then he had a lower leg issue. There are people around here who feel like that hindered him. But then the Denver Broncos rolled out their Vic Fangio defense. Some people thought that that was a blueprint that teams were going to use against Dak. And it just never felt like the same in the second half of the season. Then he had the entire offseason to get healthy and fine and be in phenomenal shape. And then he gets hurt against Tampa. I still expect – look, the Cowboys are a more lethal offense with Dak Prescott versus Cooper Rush.
100%.
They were also dealing with receiver issues. You know, every week I give an Amari Cooper update, and it pisses people off to no end. But it's a storyline, right? Is CeeDee Lamb a number one? He didn't look like it in the first half against the Giants.
Sure
he did in the second half. They lost Michael Gallup. He's set to make his return. We thought he was going to play Monday. He's probably going to play – Sunday. Washington goes down in training camp. Dalton Schultz is a tight end that they franchise tagged because they didn't believe he was worth the long-term money. So we had a lot. Zeke, we all know, is done and over with. Everyone wants Tony Pollard to get more touches. So this football team got worse in the offseason, in my opinion, especially on offense. New right tackle. Tyron Smith goes down. New left guard. They don't love the center. And I think that contributed to – and then Dak didn't play in the preseason. So I think he gets back and this offense eventually gets rolling.
All righty, my man. Appreciate you giving us some time. You can check out Sean weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. on the Sean and RJ Show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. I would say good luck, Sean, but we're not supposed to do that.
just go ahead and sing the theme song. Oh, yeah, you can't do that either. I don't know what you guys have left of it. I feel for you. I grew up a DC fan, and Snyder just sucked the soul out of me. So now I've gone to the dark side. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you, my man. Always good catching up with you. Sean Sharif, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at 1053SS. Check out the Sean and RJ Show weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You can also catch them on the free Odyssey app as well. Got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls on this Commander Stock Report. We're getting ready to hit the quarter pole mark Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. I want to hear from you. Team 980 listener lines wide open, 301-230-0980. Heading into week 4 against Dallas, which members of the Commander's stock is moving up and which members of the Commander's stock is trending down? I'll give you more of mine next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.